are healed and you are forgiven. Join Kenneth Copeland today on the Believer's Voice of Victory as he shares how the power of redemption, love, and grace cover every part of the curse. Now let's join Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and I'm Kenneth Copeland, and Jesus is alive and well, and prayer changes things. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today for another wonderful opportunity to teach and preach your word and for people to grow their faith and their prayer life become strong, praise God. That for faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Speaking about our great teacher, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost and fire is in us. Hallelujah. And we praise you for it and thank you for it today. And we plan on you setting us on fire today on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, everybody. Glory to God. Welcome to the studio audience today. Thank you, Lord. Excuse me. Let's go to Luke chapter 13. Oh, this is one of my favorites. My goodness. Oh, so much in this. 13th chapter of Luke. And in the, so that you get the setting, look at the 10th verse. He was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. That's a long time. Now, I want you to notice a spirit of infirmity 18 years was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. When Jesus saw her, we're talking about, is it God's will to heal? Huh? I want you to notice it. When Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. Men weren't working here. There are 6 days. How long has she been in this condition?
18 years.
How many weeks is that? I don't know. That's a bunch. And he hadn't done anything. Let me tell you something. This will help you. They preached the curse. They had gotten so deep into the law, which, and into the never breaking the law. Because you do, the curse comes on you. Well, hey, the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy doesn't start with the curse. It starts with the blessing of Abraham. Huh? Amen. The difference was Jesus came preaching the blessing. They were preaching the curse. It put them at direct odds with one another. Not all of them. We found that out yesterday. He had a house full of them at his house, and they were not against him. They came there to hear. Glory to God. And I mean, hey, some of the finest donkeys in the world were parked right outside his house. Amen. The doctors of the law, the scribes, and so forth. But these people here in this synagogue was hostile to this. The ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed and not on the Sabbath day. There wasn't anything wrong with what he said because he believed in healing. He just didn't think it ought to happen on the Sabbath day. Listen, God always provided healing for his people. Now, the Lord answered and said, "You hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering?" Listen, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," look, "whom Satan hath bound," not God. God is not the one that binds with sickness and disease. God has never, listen to me, I wouldn't be saying this if I hadn't made a thorough study of this. I'm saying it right here in front of heaven and the world and everybody else. There's misunderstanding that has taken place because of a lack of study, particularly in the Old Covenant, about God smiting. There was no revelation of the devil and his works until Jesus revealed him and until the Apostle Paul wrote and exposed him. Amen. Now, and if I had time, I could prove it to you from the Old Testament. When it said, "And God smote," God didn't bring attention to the devil. Now, there's revelation in there concerning him, and particularly in the book of Isaiah and so forth and so on. You've got to study, you know, to get in there and find it. But there is scripture that will let you see when, and it's in the book of Exodus, about the death angel. If you put the blood, you know, God said, "I will smite the firstborn." But then he says, you know, he just took the blame for it. "I will do it." But then it says, the destroyer, that's Satan, "the destroyer will not be allowed in your house." Can you see it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to see that because I want to make this statement. Only one man that God ever made poor, only one man that God ever made sick, and only one man did God ever send to hell. "I just don't believe that, Brother Copeland." Well, that's your fault. I know what I'm talking about. "Well, you go to hell for lying, the same as stealing." You don't go to hell for lying.
No, that's right.
You don't go to hell for stealing.
That's right.
You don't go to hell for murder.
Right.
No. Jesus already paid all the price for that. Jesus is the only man that God ever sent to hell.
That's right.
So you and I don't have to go and you don't have to go. The only sin that'll send you to hell today is not accepting Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Lord and your Savior. I don't care what you've done.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus. The curse. Well, let's get back in here. "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham." Now, what does that mean? She's Jewish. She's a Jew. Let me tell you something else. Well, that was just for the Jews. The word Jew is actually a nickname for Judah. And I don't have time to go back into the tribe and half tribes and all that. But it's not the Jews. It's the promise given to Abraham, which was to all the tribes. Huh? All 12 tribes, equally the tribe of Benjamin, huh? Mm-hmm. Not just the tribe of Judah. So if it was a promise God made in covenant, a blood covenant. In the blood, that's a blood sworn oath to the man Abraham. Amen.
Amen.
Then Jesus shed his blood instead of blood of animals. Now, here we go. How much time I got, Tim? Oh, that's good. Praise God. Now, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Now, turn with me over to the book of Galatians. Excuse me. There's been so much confusion in these things, but it's really not confusing if you're New Testament taught. Now, you won't learn these things to begin with from the Old Testament. You go to the New Testament and you find out what actually happened in the first covenant. Then you understand it and where we belong in it. Because is there anyone here that is by birth Jewish? Good. I knew that. Amen. Now, see, she's been born twice. Born a Jew the first time, born a Jew the second time. But you and I, see, we became Jews. We became because we were grafted in. And I'll show it to you. Galatians chapter 3. And in that 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Wouldn't that be you and me?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What promise? What he promised Abraham. Now go to the 29th verse. And if you be Christ's, that literally, you see the word be is in italics. And for those of you that might not know, in the King James, the version and translation of the Bible, anything that is in italics, and it's this way in most translations, it was not in the Greek text, so it was put in there by the translators. Actually, a better rendering of that is, and if you be in Christ. See, anyone, remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? Any man that is in Christ is a new creature. Now, if you be in Christ, are you in Christ?
Yes.
Ooh, I'm in Christ. Are you a new creature?
Yes.
Learn that. Learn that. Learn that quickly. Learn that. I'm a new creature. I'm in Christ Jesus.
Old things have passed away.
And you get tempted to do stuff, and you say, no, I don't do that. I'm a new creature. Well, you remember what you did. No, I didn't do that. You did too. I saw you. No, I didn't do that. That guy died.
Amen.
I died.
Amen.
Yeah, I died. First week of November, 1962. North Little Rock, Arkansas. I died. See, that's spiritual death. The curse is threefold. Spiritual death is the death that literally means being disconnected from God. And who is true life? Well, the scripture says you were dead in your sin. God told Adam, the day you eat of that, you're going to die. Well, he physically lived 930 years later. His body died. But he was disconnected from God. Spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. So Jesus, the Redeemer, suffered those things for us. And to get born again, healed, and prosper financially. He is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Ooh, don't I wish I had time to mess around with that today, but I don't. Now, if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Ought not this woman be loosed from this infirmity whom Satan hath bound these 18 years? Amen?
Amen.
Let me get back over there where I was. Amen. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? Well, hey, the Sabbath day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, any time of the day or night. Amen?
Amen.
I ought to be loose from this thing. I'm a child of God. Not only that, I am the seed of Abraham. I've been redeemed from the curse of this stuff. Jesus redeemed me from the curse of the law. Glory to God. The curse for breaking the law was sickness and disease and poverty. Yeah. Amen. But Jesus took it for us. I read an article about a school principal. Had a little kid, just a little terror. I mean, this kid was, well, you know, he's, I don't know how old the boy was, but he's a, you know, he's a good big kid. He's a, I expect he's in his teenager, maybe 13, 14 years old. He all the time is getting taken into this for fighting and all kinds of stuff. And he came to that, the teacher brought him in there again. He said, you in here again? Yep, I'm in here again. He said, just come on, lay it on. I can take anything you can dish out. Well, what'd you do this time? Well, I socked Tommy and stuck his face in the sand. And I'll do it again if I get a chance. He said, well, a punishment not doing you any good, is it? He said, nope. I can take anything you got. Come on, let's get it over with. And the teacher said, I see you need to find, you need some grace. What's grace? That's that stuff you do before you eat the meal, isn't it? No. He said, you don't know what grace is. You need some grace. Well, okay, I can take it. Let's have it. So he pulled off his belt, doubled it up. Yeah, he said, I thought so. Here it comes. Handed the belt to the teacher. And, you know, the kid is standing there with his hands out where he's going, you know, take his licks. Handed the belt to the teacher, and the boy stuck his hands out there. And the principal put his hands down and stuck his hands out. The concept of grace. Concept of grace. I'll take you whipping for you. Isn't that a wonderful story? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Say, I am the seed of Abraham. What God promised Abraham, He's promised me. Hallelujah. Did you know God promised Abraham and make him rich? I'm going to tell you something, baby. God's not, Jesus Himself is not opposed to you being wealthy. He's opposed to His children being covetous. That's what's wrong with it. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. That's what the Bible says. See, the Gentiles and our Christian religion built in this poverty thing It's not in the Bible. It isn't in there. May I suggest that you contact some Jewish friend of yours or go to the synagogue and ask if God wanted people to be poor? The Jews never have believed that. Why? Because God made Abraham rich. God intends for the wealth of this earth to be in the hands of His people. Say, I'm His people. And we're out of time. Don't say that. We'll be back in just a minute.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.